For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
To come around the Word of God, it's a great privilege for me to preach it as well. I'm so very happy to do so, and I find it a great privilege. Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God this morning and learn more of God and respond in faith to Him. Father, we praise You. We thank You. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for helping us in every area of our lives. You are our help, and we praise You for that, Lord. And Father, we ask that this morning our ears be open, our eyes be open, to hear, to see what You would have us to see, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're looking at walking in the truth of God this morning, walking in the truth of God, and we're going to relate that specifically to soul prosperity, and we see that there is a particular link in that. So let's start with looking at 3 John verses 1 to 4. It's a very familiar section of scripture to us, but a very important one for understanding how to walk in victory, because we are living in a society that is very much given over to the things that are not of the Lord, and we must be people that through our words and actions are witnesses for Christ. And this is very, very clear. So starting from verse 1 of 3 John, it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So here we see the Apostle John has some really encouraging words to say here. Verse 2, "Beloved," so he's talking to believers clearly, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." So here's a strong desire. And no doubt he's praying for these people, he's teaching them, he's showing them things, and his strong desire, above all things, notice, above all things, is that they may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So your soul prospering, and if you think about this, it's very important to understand, your soul prospering has to have understanding about the health and the prosperity areas of Scripture. You have to have understanding about that. If you have no knowledge in the Word about God's healing and God's health for His people, how can your soul prosper in that? Now, there is a connection, as we see here, between your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and that's part of your inner man, and your outer man being in health, and also your soul being in health, because many people have souls that have been attacked, and even a lot of destruction has come in to people's thinking and their emotions and their will that need to be healed. And also you need to understand about prosperity. Now, prosperity is not just finance, although it does touch on that. Prosperity is walking in the blessing of God, walking in that blessing even when you're surrounded with the curse. How can you walk in victory? You can walk in victory by prospering in your life. And this is what the scripture is talking about. So he connects it with the truth being in them. And God's word is truth. He connects it in verse 3. And he says, I rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly. So here's a minister of God who's rejoicing greatly that the beloved, the people of God, have the truth in them and that they walk in the truth. And he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy. No greater joy. Think about that. No greater joy. Now that means that's right at the very top. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So the Apostle John is talking about this is his greatest joy. That the children of God, those who have been born again, are walking in truth. Now think about that. You can't walk in truth and walk in compromise at the same time. Now God wants his people to conform to Christ's image. Let's have a look at that. Romans 8 verse 29. Romans 8 verse 29. So we hear a lot in our society about diversity, you know, differences. But God emphasizes a lot about conformity. And when he talks about conformity, he means getting in line with what he says, what he wants, his will, his truth. This is what having the truth in you and walking in the truth is about, getting in line with the truth. Okay, there's a lot of diversity, that's correct. But because there's diversity doesn't mean that that's all good. Because people can be thinking all types of wrong things. Now, I certainly can't agree with wrong things, and neither should you. Because how can you have the truth in you and walk in truth and be agreeing with wrong things? You can't. You can't. You cannot agree with that type of thing. In fact, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So there has to be agreement, and the way the beloved or the brethren in Christ agree together is by having the truth in them and walking in the truth. That is, having the Word of God in them and walking in the Word of God. That's how we get agreement. Looking at Romans 8 verse 29, we'll read this and have a look at what it says. It says, for whom he did foreknow, that's you and me, he also did predestinate, this is our destiny, to be what? Diverse? No, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, so we're to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. In our words, in our actions. In fact, the Bible says we're to have the mind of Christ. So that's the way our thinking, our souls can prosper. By thinking along that line. So there's a conformity that is correct and true and good. A conformity that we should have. There's obviously a conformity that is wrong. And we know about not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's in Romans 12 verse 2. We won't turn to that, but it's quite clear that there's a bad conformity and there's a good conformity. So if you're walking in truth, what type of conformity are you going to have? You're going to have a conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be just like him. Just like him. Now he was obviously perfect. And when he spoke truth. There was no lie in him. And there is no lie in him. And he walked perfectly in the truth. So he is our precise and exact model. And we are to walk and talk like him. There's the proper conformity. There's the way we should be in terms of walking in the truth. So that's hardly in line with the world's doctrine of diversity, that we can all be different and don't need to change. Of course we need to change. We need to change away from conforming to the world and its way of thinking and ungodly way of actions to conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the proper conformity. There's many things in the scripture which have two sides to it. There's good love, there's bad love. Obviously the good love, to love your brethren, to love the word of God, to love the church, to love God. That's good love. But there's bad love. It's wrong to love. It's wrong to love evil. It's wrong to love sin. It's wrong to love doing the wrong things. There's good hate and there's bad hate. Okay? It's wrong to hate your brother and sister. Okay? But it's good to hate evil. The same with conformity. It's good to conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's bad to conform to the world. So this is where we've got to rightly divide the word of God. We've got to correctly walk in the word, walk in the truth of God. So that means our souls have to change correctly. Have a look at Hebrews 13 verse 7. Now this is not a very popular couple of verses I'm going to take us through, because we're living in a society which is quite anti-authoritarian, in other words anti-authority, and particularly anti-church, and there's been a lot of bad witnesses around. But the truth is that if God's word is the truth, then we have to conform to God's word. There is an authority, there is a structure that God has set up in the church, particularly for the people of God, to be able to go God's way. This is very important. Let's look at Hebrews 13 verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." So it's no use us saying, "Oh, there's no one that rules over me." That's not scriptural to say that. First of all, you've got Christ as your master, okay? But even in the church, the Holy Ghost calls them overseers. In Acts 20, even in the church, God has set up his structure. But he hasn't set it up so that there can be an overbearing rulership to keep people under. He set it up so that people can be nurtured and shepherded and strengthened and conformed to the image of Christ, so that they do walk in the truth. And so notice that the type of people that are going to be ruling over the people of God are those who speak the word of God. Okay? So they're not going to be having worldly philosophies and trying to get people into worldly conformity, but into conformity to the word of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, his title is the Word. So obviously the Word of God will reflect who and what he is. And this is very important for us to see. So if there's going to be proper rulership in the church, and obviously the church desperately needs it right across this city, this land of Australia, and indeed right across the earth, desperately needs it, that the word of God is faithfully spoken, faithfully preached. Okay, you'll notice that I don't use a tremendous amount of examples, but concentrate mainly with the word of God, because that's what I believe, and I believe you believe that too, is what the people of God really need to be able to walk in the truth. Yes, we use a lot of scriptures in our sermons, and I believe that's rightly so. Okay? And it will continue to do so. One of the reasons I use PowerPoints is I can get more scriptures into it, and also get it into your eye gate as well. So it's a good way to teach. Have a look at Hebrews 13 and go a little bit further to verse 17. And notice what those that are in rulership in the church are supposed to do. First of all, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Okay, that's not my command, that's God's command. For they, what do? Watch for your souls. Here's the battle. It says they're watching for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So in today's churches, today's society, it's quite acceptable to be rebuking ministers of God, to be saying all the things that are opposite, to not have submission and so on. That seems to be quite acceptable. But see, that's the way of the world. It's not the scripture. Now, I'm talking about those that have rule over you or those that are speaking to you the word of God. They're watching for your souls. They're saying, if we see, and just like John, if we see people walking in truth, that gives great joy. And John, we saw, said he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walked in truth. That gives great joy. Why? Because if they're walking in truth, if they have the truth in them and are actually walking in the truth, their souls are prospering. And what happens then? What's the connection that we've been observing? The connection is health and prosperity in their lives. Now that gives great joy, and it should give great joy when you see that in the brethren. You see that. But what's not going to give joy is to see people that are rebellious, that are going against the word, that are not prospering in their soul, that have all types of things contrary in their lives. That's going to cause the minister of God not joy, but grief. And certainly, as it says there, unprofitable for those that the ministers of God are watching over in terms of watching their souls, watching for your souls, as it says there. How must our thinking be? Let's look at Proverbs 21 verse 5. Proverbs 21 verse 5. You want to be a prosperous person. A person who's prosperous. When we submit to the Lord, when we submit to His ways, God will be able to work in us and through us. When we submit to the Lord and His truth, now put priority on the Word of God, getting it into your heart and walking in it, that is, obeying the truth. When you submit to the Lord, good things start to happen in your life. Good things start to happen in your life. Good things. Okay? One thing that I've found happens is that your thinking starts to be more aligned to an understanding of what's happening around you. Okay? You don't have a victim mentality anymore. You have what I would call a faith, victory, triumph type mentality. Okay? For example, the scripture says, thanks be unto God that always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Always. But you've got to have the way of thinking, oh, that trouble's come, so I'm not triumphing. Or that trouble's come, that's not the final authority, that's not the final word. And that's not going to get into my heart, because let not my heart be troubled. That trouble that might come is not the final word. What is the final word is God always causes me to triumph in Christ. So, when we come to something like Proverbs 21 verse 5, this is the way of a person who's prospering in their soul. And notice what it says here. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. Okay, so what's the thoughts of the diligent? How can we relate that? What's a diligent person in Christ? What do they do? We'll think about that in just a minute. But if you have the thoughts of the diligent, that will tend only to plenteousness, plenty of good things, plenty of victory, plenty of prosperity, plenty of health, plenty of strength. That's what you'll be thinking on. That's the type of thinking that you'll be having. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But what's the diligent? What are the diligent? Are they just people that keep themselves occupied? Or are they walking in the truth? Diligently walking in the truth. So let's connect it to the scripture in Hebrews 11. And we know this scripture, but it's good for us to remind ourselves of this. See, being diligent is not just keeping yourself occupied. There's many people in the world that keep themselves occupied. They're busy, okay? But you know, a lot of their busyness is irrelevant to the Lord. They're busy, but it's irrelevant to the things of God. And it's not just keeping yourself busy or occupied, okay? Hebrews 11 verse 6. As I said, this is one we know quite well. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but it's a particular type. The diligent in God are not just people that keep themselves busy, but they are walking in the truth of God constantly, consistently, always keeping to it. Even if feelings come, oh, I should give up. Even if feelings come, oh, you're not getting there. Or this sickness will always stay, or this will always happen, or this. You know, as I said in last Tuesday's sermon, you need to answer wrong thoughts that come to you. You have to answer them. You don't just let them come in and meditate on them. Fearful thoughts have to be answered. Worrisome thoughts have to be answered. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, this is what a diligent person is. Diligently seeking the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? In his word. Diligently seek the Lord in prayer. Diligently seek the Lord in your conversation, which is your words and actions. He'll reward you. He rewards them. There's the promise. He rewards them that diligently seek him. And the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. If you're seeking the Lord, let's say you're seeking the Lord in prayer, you're not going to be praying prayers of unbelief. You're not going to be praying out of the will of God. You're going to be praying in faith. And this is important. In fact, the whole of Hebrews 11 deals with faith, as we know. And the scripture is very clear here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. So faith must be very, very important. So people walking in the truth of God must be faith people. Must be people of faith. In fact, the Bible says we're to walk by faith, doesn't it? It says we're to live by faith. It says we're to stand by faith. So if you're living, walking, and standing by faith, then you must be seeking God by faith. Okay? So it's not based on your feelings. It's based on the Word of God, may having the truth in you and walking in the truth. It's very important. Because that links, as we know, to soul prosperity. That links to your health and your prosperity, which is, of course, a wonderful witness to those around you, because you can say, well, it's not through me, it's by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's redeemed me from the curse of the law. He's my strength, he's my life, as Paul said. For me to live is Christ. So that's us too. For us to live is Christ, and I'm conformed to the image of Christ. We have to get away from fearing man. The fear of man is a snare. We've got to get away from that. In fact, a good confession to have is, God has delivered me from all my fears, including the fear of man. Okay? God has delivered me from all my fears, including the fear of man. And that's scriptural. It's a scriptural confession to have. Have a look at Joshua 23. Joshua 23, verses 14 to 16. Now, you may remember that the children of Israel were quite rebellious in terms of going into the promised land. Many of them, well, the vast majority of them, missed out. But Joshua didn't. He was a wonderful example of a man of faith. Joshua 23, verses 14 to 16. And notice what he says here. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Okay, so we can say put away any connection to the past gods. All right, but notice what it says. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is to hate what? Evil, pride, arrogancy, etc. We are to hate that. God hates it. So the fear of the Lord is to have the right attitude there. Reverence the Lord properly. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. You know, you mean it. You mean it. You're not just half-heartedly serving him, but you mean it. You're walking in the truth, in sincerity and truth. You're putting away the wrong things out of your life. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you know, there's many people that do think that, oh, why should I do this, blah, 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 and they say in their hearts, basically things against the Word of God, even Christians, or people calling themselves Christians, because they want to conform to the world, don't they? They don't want to conform to the image of Christ. They don't want that. Well, I want to have a bit of a tipple of the alcohol. I want to, you know, let fly a bit of profanity. I want to have a tattoo here and there. Why not? I'll be able to reach out to the world that way. That's not the way of the Lord, is it? Not the way of the, how could that be the way of the Lord? You know, the Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. So, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other words, you're not going to be serving nothing. You're going to be serving something. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I'm reading from Joshua 24. I hope you've figured that out. Joshua 24. We will serve the Lord. Verse 15. And verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So what did these people do? They made... Well, this is what we should do too. Verse 16, make a decision not to serve anything else except the Lord. And this is walking in sincerity and truth. So let me read verses 14 to 16 again of Joshua 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And then they go on further down. But what we know is that there is a choice in our life, and if we're diligently serving the Lord, it will be in sincerity and in truth with the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Have a look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So if we're to walk in the truth, the law of the Lord, God's word, being perfect, will convert your soul into prospering, into doing, or into having the right thinking, will and emotions, all those things coming into line, converting the soul, because the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure, you can rely upon it, making wise the simple. So as we're walking in the law, the truth of God, we're allowing that word to convert our soul, to change us, so that we're more and more conformed to the image of Christ. So more and more we're understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding. So we might have been simple in the past, but God's making us wiser in Him. God's making us wiser in Him. So don't accept, oh, this is the way I've been always in the past. Nothing's going to change. It can change as you make decisions in the Lord. It can change your soul, converting the soul. It can make you from being a simple person in terms of your thinking and your ways into being a wise person. You can be changed for the Lord. You can be conformed to the image of Christ. More and more. Converting the soul. Making wise the simple. So don't accept, oh, I've got to always be at this level. No. Believe for increase. Believe so that your thoughts, the thoughts of the diligent, tend only to plenteousness. Believe for that more and more. Praise God. I want to finish with Psalm 77. We'll start from verse 1. Psalm 77. And this is very relevant to today, today's society, Christians living in the type of society we do live in, which is predominantly walking away from the Bible and away from the Lord. We'll start from verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. So the good thing is that the psalmist, and we'll read about him, trouble had come into his life. Good thing is that he cried to the Lord. He's gone to the right source, hasn't he? Okay, he's not rushing to do to some other person, but he's going to the Lord. First off, and God will give ear to you. Verse 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. So, you can see he had some sort of affliction in his body. He said, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. Obviously, some sort of affliction, pain there. His soul refused to be comforted. Think about your soul refusing to be comforted. There. So, and it says, in the day of my trouble. So there's trouble that had come here. But one good thing here, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. There's many people today, even amongst Christians, that, you know, they remembered God, remembered things about God, but they're still troubled. They complain, and their spirit is overwhelmed. They feel overwhelmed. They don't. Their soul refused to be comforted. They feel uneasy. Things not right. Verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. So he's wide awake. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You know, there's lots of Christians even today who are so troubled they can't even speak. Should we be like that? Should we be troubled about how bad things are going in our society, even how compromised many are in the churches? Should we be troubled about that? Should we allow that trouble to get into us? No. Well, let's keep on going. Verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Okay, so he's calling to remembrance things. He's considering the days of old. Oh, those were the days. But still, is that hope for the future? Is that things are going to change for the better? Is that God's going to have his victory in my life and in the society around us and in the church itself? Is God going to have his victory? Notice what he says, and this is the question that often comes even amongst the children of God today, and I'm talking about the real children of God, the ones who are born again, but there's a lot that in their souls they're troubled, they're not comforted because they're not looking at things in the right way. And this is the type of questions they'll ask. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. So what's the problem here? His soul is not prospering. Otherwise, you'd be saying, well, my soul is prospering. It's going to be health and prosperity. It's going to be good things. Watch what happens though. Verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but, now the but answers it, I will, this is an act of his will, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Hey, wait a minute, I thought he said he could not speak. So troubled he couldn't speak. No, no. Now he's saying, I will do this. I will do this. So something's starting to change. He said, I will meditate on this. I will remember this. Verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. We are spiritual Israel. We are redeemed. There are good things that we should be thinking about. And the souls of the diligent, the thoughts of the diligent, tend only to plenteousness. Our souls, as we're walking in the truth of God, can change for the better, so that we're believing the right things, we're thinking on the right things. And we need to say that. I'm not going to meditate on all of that. I'm going to meditate on the truth. I will remember this, praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are leading us in the way we should go. I pray that every person here makes the right choices. That all of us make the right choice when we come to things in our lives, we come to the future, we make the right choices in you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.